Today, on The Journey.
Wisdom is a fantastic word. It's to be skilled in moral living. Wisdom is that material by which we build a life that counts.
Wisdom was there when God flung the stars across the universe, there when the world came to be, there to give light to your path. Today, Ron Moore begins a series that will take you from the heavenly heights to the place where God's wisdom meets everyday living. Learn her ways and find success in life's endeavors. Before that, we want you to know about Ron's study notes on the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has been called the best parenting book ever written. And this interactive study booklet will guide you through its key verses, helping you raise responsible, godly children. It's yours for a gift of any amount. Remember, your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, here's Ron with the message, Proverbs, an Introduction on the Journey.
Today we're starting a brand new series, and this series is on the best parenting book ever written, bar none. If someone asks you after this series, what's a great parenting book? You now know the answer. This book was written specifically for parents because the writer understood the importance of teaching our kids at home. This book is an educational, a spiritual instruction manual for parents, not only to teach their kids, but to show their kids what it looks like to live a life full out, full-orbed for Jesus Christ. It's the book of Proverbs, and this is a book you have to master. This isn't a book just for parents. The book of Proverbs is the Bible's one-stop shop, providing everyday wisdom for everyday life. It is theological. The name Lord, Yahweh, is mentioned in Proverbs 84 times, but it's not theoretical. This is a practical, rubber meets the road instruction manual for life. This book tells us, written around 700 BC, that it doesn't matter how many social media friends you have. It really doesn't matter. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions comes to ruin. But there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. If you're married, you got to master this book. This book has all kinds of things to say about marriage. Let me give you one. Proverbs 5:15, drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. That's some pretty good marital advice, isn't it? We're going to be looking at the dangers of pride and God's word on true humility. We're going to look at the necessity of purity to live the life that God's called us to live. We're going to look at the importance of surrounding ourselves with godly people who give us godly advice, and we're going to learn it is only a fool who rejects the advice of godly people around them. We're going to compare the difference between diligence and laziness. We're going to see how important words are, the power of words in our Twitter culture, just shooting off arrows back and forth. We're going to see, you shouldn't do that, the power of words. And we're going to learn how to develop a life of meaning and purpose and mission. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. We'll also learn that when this book was written, there were a lot of wise people and there were a lot of wise sayings. The Egyptians, they had their wisdom literature. The Mesopotamians, they had their wisdom literature. But there was one thing that set apart the wisdom literature of the Bible from the Egyptians and the Mesopotamians and everyone else in the world. You know what it was? Proverbs 1:7, the theme of the book, repeated in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. As one paraphrase says, start with God. The first step of learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. What I want to do today is get an overview of the book. I think anytime you begin a study of a book, you need to get the context of the book. Who wrote it? Where was he coming from when he wrote it? Who was he writing it to? Why did he write some of the things that he wrote? And so let's get a grasp of the book. When you're reading the Proverbs, you'll read a proverb. Sometimes a whole section deals with the subject, but most of the Proverbs are like one line, two lines, or three lines. When it's one line, it gives you a truth right there on its own. When it's two lines, there's the first line, and then the second line either expounds on that truth, explains that truth, or contrasts that truth. When it's three lines, it's usually a subject together. Now, the cool thing about the Proverbs is there's kind of a randomness about it. Chapter 14, I want to show you a couple things here. This is just one of many parts we could go to. So you're reading through the Proverbs, you're in 14, and you read chapter 14, verse 4, and you read, where there is no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. I love that one. That's a verse on leadership. People are messy. But man, think of the things you can do as a leader when we can do it together. That's leadership. Then the next one, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies. So you got leadership. Now you have one on honesty. Skip down a few. Look at verse 10. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. And you have one on personal disappointment and personal joy. Only we understand that. So you've gone from leadership to honesty to this personal joy and disappointment. Then 11, the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. Now you have one on a home and being grounded in your home. And then one more, chapter 14, verse 12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. So there in about 10 verses, you've gone from leadership to honesty, to joy and disappointment inside, to a grounded life, to self-deception. What's up with all that? Well, isn't that kind of how life is? Isn't that kind of how it works through the day? So you're in your office or at your job and you're doing some leadership stuff and all of a sudden someone knocks on your door and they bring in an issue and now maybe there's an honesty issue you're dealing with and pretty soon you get a call and you're dealing with something from home and you read something or you do something and you're reminded of a disappointment or a joy. Isn't that just how life works? That's the way the Proverbs are written. The way life is, everyday wisdom for everyday life. And one more thing. There are 31 chapters in the Proverbs. And many months have 31 days. So I'm going to challenge you. Read a chapter a day. Read it personally, or if you're married, read it as husband and wife. If you have kids, read it as a family. Take 5 minutes out of your day for the next 31 days and read through the book of Proverbs. I honestly believe if we would grasp the book of Proverbs, it will change our lives. Because we're going to see these are not just pithy sayings that we throw out here and there. These are game changers if we truly put them into practice. And that's obviously the purpose of the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, we get the writer, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Let's stop there because we want to know who wrote this thing. What was he about? So turn back to 1 Kings chapter 3. As you know, there were three kings in the nation of Israel, the first three kings. You had Saul, who was not a very good king. God rejected him and anointed David, who was a great king. And under David, the kingdom was united and some things were going really well. Under Solomon, things took off. And he says, oh my goodness, what just happened to me? And God came to Solomon in a dream and said, Solomon, what can I give you? How can I help you? What do you need to lead my people? And here's what Solomon said, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David, although I'm but a little child. Now, he wasn't a little child. He's in his 30s. But you know what? He feels like a little child. What am I doing? Over my head. I'm following David. I don't know how to go out or come in. I don't know a thing about this. So, verse 9, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern your great people? Every parent should jot that down. That's our prayer, isn't it? God, I am over my head. I've never had a child before, or I've never had a two-year-old before, or I've never had a teenager before, or I had a teenager and I thought I mastered it, but this teenager ain't working like it's supposed to. I need your help. And God was so pleased with Solomon's request. Look at verse 13. I'm going to give you wisdom, but I give you also what you didn't ask for, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall be compared with you all the days of your life. And that's what happened during Solomon's reign. If you turn over to chapter 4, verse 20, Judah and Israel were as many as the sand of the sea. They ate and drank and were happy. Look at the end of verse 24. And he had peace on all sides around him. Solomon's reign, Israel was at peace. Look at verse 25. And Judah and Israel lived in safety from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, and every man under his vine and under his fig tree. That just means there was plenty to eat and plenty to drink. They didn't go without food. Look at verse 26. Solomon also had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs. He wrote songs. 1,005. And then look, verse 34. And peoples of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. The king said, I got to go listen to that guy. And they went to have an audience with Solomon. But here's the deal. Wisdom is a gift from God, but it's developed. We'll see that in a second. And Solomon just didn't walk around saying pithy things. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. Listen to this. Besides being wise, the preacher, that's Solomon, also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. Don't miss that. He studied. He researched. He arranged these proverbs with great care because he is writing this for parents to teach their kids at home. He understands that if Israel is going to be strong, it has to have strong homes. He understands that if Israel is going to be strong 10 years, 20 years in the future, the kids have to get God's word and not just get it in their mind. They got to get it in their heart and they got to apply it to their lives. Solomon realized that the future was at stake. The preacher sought to find words of delight. He sought to find just the right word that would click with the person, just the right way to say it, that a person could remember it. And uprightly, he wrote these words of truth, the Proverbs. What's a proverb anyway? We need to know that before we get started, right? The word proverb is a Hebrew word, masal, which comes from a verb meaning to be like or to be compared with. So a proverb is a statement that makes a comparison, a contrast, or summarizes a common experience. Now, Proverbs are a general statement, not an unconditional promise. We'll talk more about that as we go through. Okay, Solomon began to write these Proverbs, and like a great teacher, he set out a lesson plan. And when he wrote the book, he starts with a fivefold purpose. By the way, when you're studying a book of the Bible, every writer has a reason for writing the book. Sometimes they state it straight out. Other times, you just learn it as you go through the book. But Solomon says, I don't want you to miss this. Here's the reason I'm writing these. The first, he says, I'm writing these, look at verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. My first reason for writing this is so that you parents, you teachers, can dispense wisdom and instruction. You want your kids to grasp wisdom with their heads and with their hearts and out in their hands. That word wisdom is a fantastic word. It's the Hebrew word chokmah, and it's found 45 times in the Proverbs. When you first read the word chokmah in the Old Testament, you read it in Exodus chapter 28, and it's used to describe a person who has a specific ability to get a job done well. In Exodus chapter 28, it's used of the men who sewed the garments of Aaron the priest. God had given specific instruction of how to put these garments together. And so the person with chokmah, the person with skill, was brought in to weave and embroider and make these garments. It's also used later in 1 Kings when they were building the temple. They brought in men who were skillful builders. Think about that. They had no concrete. They had no cement. They had to put blocks on blocks. They had to put keystones in particular places. They had to chisel out certain things. It was going to be a beautiful structure. And you had to have men who were skilled at this. That's what the word means. Chokmah, skill. Well, now, the word wisdom is to be skilled in moral living. Wisdom is that material by which we build a life that counts. Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to build a life that matters? You know, it's interesting. Some people don't think two wits about eternity. But there are some Christians, and you talk to them, and they say, how are you doing? Yeah, I'm praying for the rapture. Well, the rapture's going to come in God's time. But in the meantime, he left you here to get some things done. He left you here to live a life that counts. He left you here to live your life in such a way, Matthew 5, that people see what you do and say, that's pretty cool. That couldn't have come from you. That must have come from God. That's the life God's called us to live. Isn't that the life we want to pass down to our kids? So Solomon says, that's why I'm writing this book. I want you to grasp wisdom, the skill of living morally, the skill of taking God's word and putting it into practice. Then he says, to know wisdom and instruction. I love the word instruction. It's the Hebrew word masar, and it basically means discipline. See, God gives wisdom. Proverbs 2:6, wisdom comes from the Lord. And he gives us the Holy Spirit, and he expects us to live a life pleasing to him. And sometimes that takes discipline. So there's a temptation in front of us. We know it's wrong. We want to do it. If we didn't want to do it, it wouldn't be tempting. And so we have to make a decision. There has to be some discipline. I'm either going to follow my flesh and do that, and then ask God's forgiveness, flippantly say that, or I'm not going to do that. Because it's wrong. And every fiber of my flesh wants to do it, but I'm going to discipline myself not to do it. Second one, Solomon says, to understand words of insight. I love the word insight. Insight means to see between issues. Man, as a parent, don't you want insight? You know the issue. Your kid's acting out or whatever. But what's causing them to do that? What's the hidden issue? That's what insight is. To see between issues. The third reason Solomon writes this is to receive instruction in wise dealing in righteousness, justice, and equity. So we have insight to see between issues. Wise dealing means to act with insight, to actually put it into practice. And Solomon says, I want you to put wise dealing into practice in a way that's right, in a way that's fair, in a way that's impartial. Just think about how that would change our families if, as parents, We had insight. We could see between the issues, and then we could deal wisely by putting a plan into action that is right, that is fair, and that is impartial. That's why this book is a book parents and grandparents have to master. By the way, the same word wise dealing is used of Jesus in Isaiah chapter 52. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. That's what Jesus did. You want to know what it looks like to act wisely? You just study the life of Jesus. Number four, to give prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the youth. Two words here, real quick. I love the word prudence. When you first read the word prudence in Scripture, it's a negative word. It's used in Genesis chapter 3 of Satan. He was cunning, he was crafty, he was slippery. He was the Hebrew word prudent. But then, as you go through the Old Testament, prudence becomes a positive word. It means the capacity of escaping the tricks of others. Don't we want our kids to be prudent? How many tricks are out there? How many deceptions out there? How many people trying to deceive our kids? And if we can instill prudence in our children, they can see behind that. They can escape the tricks of people trying to bring them under. The word simple in Proverbs is a cool word. It does not mean a person who's slow or hard-headed. It means a person who is inexperienced, gullible, naive, easily influenced. You can be 8 or 80 and be simple. And that's because you haven't instilled the discipline in your life to make certain you came to know, you grasp God's word, and then put it into action in your life. Now, lest you think this is just for youth and just parents teaching your kids, look at the last one. Verse 5, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands. Here's why I'm doing this, Solomon says, to understand a proverb and a saying and the words of the wise and their riddles. To understand a proverb and a saying. Solomon is saying here, you're wise, you've not arrived yet. Increase in learning. Understand guidance. I love the word guidance. It's really a word of the ropes that are on a ship that guide the sails. So here you are going down the path of life and you don't know which way to turn. But when you're wise by God's standard and when you have learned and when you put it into practice, God is allowing you to have control of the ropes. And you're saying, God, which way do I go? And he tells you, he gives you what you need to do what he's calling you to do. I don't know about you, but I found out that life isn't always black and white. Wouldn't you like it to be sometimes? Wouldn't you like there to be a passage of Scripture that says, do this right now, exclamation mark. But it's not there. And there's some gray areas. See, that's the beauty of Scripture. In the gray areas. Absorb it in our heart. And then we're able to do the things that's right and fair and with equity because God, by His Spirit, is guiding us through His
Word. And please stay with us. Ron will be back with a preview of our next broadcast right after this. Parenting in the modern world is challenging and sometimes exhausting, but there's real help to be found in an ancient book. The Proverbs contain wisdom deeply rooted in an understanding of God and people. But the book is not theoretical. It's a practical instruction manual for parenting in the real world. To help apply its wisdom to your life and family, Ron has prepared an easy and interactive study guide. It's titled Proverbs, Everyday Wisdom, Everyday Life. In it, you'll discover what it means to fear God, the blessings of humility, the importance of friendship, and how to live with purity in a sex-crazed world. The Proverbs Study Guide is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon to parents. This king understood the first thing we have to do is to teach our children the fear of the Lord.
We hope you'll join us for that message next time. Also, we want to send you a copy of Ron's interactive study guide on the book of Proverbs. It's titled Proverbs, Everyday Wisdom, Everyday Life. This booklet is yours for a gift of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Ross Draver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.